Spark a conversation, verbal elation, stimulation, education. This is Minaj with the Mary Jane Maven. When we on the air, it's always a lituation. Might talk about some litigation, might talk about some immigration, might talk about some politics, but never talking nonsense. Yes, we on in the slide. Watch and listen, it's a vibe. Watch it while you getting high, or you can listen while you drive. Just don't forget to subscribe.
Roll up. I'm trying to get high.
Welcome to Menage with the Mary Jane Maven podcast with your host, the Mary Jane Maven. I am the producer, the hubby. Follow us on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Show us some love and click that subscribe button now. Don't forget to click the bell so you get notifications and click the like button on the videos.
And now, your host.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I missed you guys, as I always do. Thank you so much for coming back to spend some time with me. This is your girl, the Mary Jane Maven, and welcome to Menage with the Mary Jane Maven. Happy February. You know, we start this month off by saying Happy Black History Month, but Black History is every single day of the year, and this just happens to be the month that overall we celebrate it. So I am going to celebrate as well. And I want to just wish everybody a happy Black History Month. I also want to let you guys know that we're going to be doing two episodes a week for this entire month. One is going to concentrate on just a normal thing. It's going to be more of a Mary Jane keeps me sane type deal. And the other, we are going to be speaking with specially nominated, collaborated with some community members and was able to come up with a special list of individuals within the cannabis industry and even those without the cannabis industry locally and on the national level that we're going to be giving a crowning moment to. So that's something that I like to call everybody deserves a crown. You know, of course, we all like to straighten crowns as women on other women. But now we're going to go ahead and we're going to provide that crowning moment to those well-deserving businesses locally, like I said, and nationally. So that will be happening. Friday, we're going to start with a local artist, a friend to the show, and you guys all know her and love her, as we all do, and I'm just going to keep it because I want to give like everybody a surprise, right? So check in with us on Friday. I'm also going to be talking about a couple of local businesses that within the cannabis industry that are Black-owned, women-owned, and they are equity participants and graduates. So we're going to be giving a crowning moment to those individuals. So make sure you guys check it out. We have a special guest, guys. As I've been telling you, I have been concentrating on collaboration. Like I said, collaboration is one of my themes for the year 2021. And this is the second collaboration that I discussed with you guys last week. And so I want to give a huge welcome, everybody, you know, give your shouts out, give your snaps, you know, to our special guest host. And as I always do, I like to give them the floor to shine. So why don't you go ahead and tell everybody who you are and a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name is Ryan. I'm the host of Soundtrack Your Life. It's a podcast on soundtracks and the reason why, you know, soundtracks stick with us and they impact us personally. So it's an interview podcast. I have a different guest on every week. This week's episode was Dazed and Confused with the Mary Jane Maven. So you guys should check that out. It's we do episodes every Monday, and you can check us out at soundtrackyourlife.net and on Instagram at soundtrackcast.
Yes, and you guys, as you can tell, the hubby always takes care by keeping you guys, you know, aware of where you can find them. So social media and website he has going across the bottom. So you'll be able to find that the entire show. I do want to say, you guys, definitely go check out the pod. You know, music is my boyfriend. That's what I always say. Love music. If you're somebody that loves music just like I do, and you love soundtracks or movies, like, you have to check it out. I was just telling him that other than my episode, my favorite episode that he did was Purple Rain. But we had a lot of fun doing Dazed and Confused. If you guys are fans of it, I learned a lot. He knows a lot, you know, about you know, the director and how the cast was picked and just the soundtrack, just everything that makes the movie awesome. So if you guys like to know little tidbits like that, go check it out. Definitely subscribe and support. So we want to thank you, all of my listeners, subscribers, my fans, my mavens, as I say. And of course, myself and the hubby, we would like to thank you so much for joining us this evening. This is going to be a special cast, guys. It's going to be a special podcast because we're going to be talking about Mary Jane and music, or music and Mary Jane. And we're going to start off with our quote, and then we're going to go ahead and we're going to jump into our spark and salutations. You know how we do. Now, I will say Ryan is not one who medicates. He's not part of the community, but he's a supporter, so I always love those. So if you guys are like watching when I light up, like, why isn't he? Because, you know, some people get some kind of way, Ryan. I don't know if you know about sessions. You know, everybody needs to be involved in the session. So I'm going to let the community know what's going on. But as we always do, I do want to start off with a quote. And then we're going to talk a little bit about this quote and where it comes from. So cannabis and music go together like salted butter and warm bread. I mean, that is the best description and use of words that I've read in a very long time. So shout out to the author of this article written by Madeline Canadoti for thepilgrimsoul.com. And this information is from an article that is titled "Why Music Sounds So Damn Good When You're High on Cannabis." So, you know, it could be from, which I just learned, the Beatles, "Gotta Get You Into My Life." Did not know that was about cannabis. Did you happen to know that, Ryan?
I did not, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah. The more that I know about the Beatles, you know, the less that I'm surprised what a lot of their songs were about. You know, music and cannabis, or cannabis, you know, lyrics within songs, it's not a new thing. It didn't just come around, you know, with the Chronic album. It didn't just come around with "Because I Got High." It didn't just come around, you know, with "Let's Smoke a Blunt." It's been around for decades, guys. You can go all the way back to jazz, and jazz that didn't have like lyrics, all right? Like that type of jazz. I'll make it like, some people are like, whoa, so long ago. But, you know, the kind of beginning of popular music, they were influenced. Their creativity was influenced and elevated by cannabis. Now, once we got into a little bit more of people saying, you know what, it's my creativity, I'm going to talk about what I know about. And then you get into modern rock, and you get into bands like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, dripping. Their music was just dripping and you know, cannabis references. So I quickly downloaded that song to my playlist, just so you guys all know. I'm definitely going to be listening to that song with different ears from now on. But from the Beatles song, "Gotta Get You Into My Life," into Rick James' "Mary Jane," onto the Loonies' "I Got Five on It," there is a very obvious connection between music and Mary Jane. And people think it's just because you're lit, you know, you're chilling, you're eating, you got the munchies, and the music just sounds so good. But there's actually scientific proof backing up the fact that they do go together. It kind of gives you like a super hearing effect. So what it's actually referred to, the actual scientific title or name of it, is psychoacoustic enhancer. So cannabis acts as this psychoacoustic acoustic enhancer, which is why music sounds so damn good when you're elevated. I can say there are songs that it kind of comes in nostalgia. I hear it and I'm immediately taken back to college, you know, and I can immediately remember a party like from beginning to end, or, you know, a night just hanging out with my husband and his frat brothers or something like that. It's so amazing. And I think we talked about it on the episode, you know, the Dazed and Confused episode, but just how, and I know not for you because you don't smoke, but just how normally cannabis can, you know, just transport you to a special time in your life or to a hard time in your life and kind of be the soundtrack of your life. I love that. So what do you think about that? And you know, that that recent research. Well, it was like 2015, but recent enough.
I believe it. I have a lot of friends who do smoke that, you know, they'll say, you're a musician or you listen to so much music. Like, how come you don't do it? Like,
yeah,
it seems like you would be the ideal person to want to smoke and like listen to some records. And it just kind of doesn't work for me that way. So, you know, if it would do that for me, I would be all about it. But
who turned down a good time, right? So what do you, you're a musician. What do you play an instrument? Do you sing? What produce?
I play the guitar, play keyboards a little bit as well. And, when I'm playing with my friends, I will usually sing. I wouldn't call myself much of a singer.
Hey, join. There's not a lot about our singers nowadays. It's called audio tunes, and it's called, you know, a really good producer and mixer. But I think that's awesome that you, you know, you play guitar. We all have bucket lists, and one of mine, I used to play piano by ear. Don't ask me to even sit down and act like I could do it now. I sang, but I would love to learn how to play guitar. Like, I just see myself, or like, I have this just dream of me. My husband and I are hardcore rock band players. And when I play it, you cannot tell me I'm not that band. You cannot tell me I'm not that lead singer. I spend time on her clothes and her look and, like, you know, planning our tour. I'm that one. If they ever come out with that game, like, you know, just virtual reality, I will go broke over that, because that will be everything. But I would love to be able to play the bass or guitar and just totally play like one of my favorite songs, like Radiohead, you know, play a little bit of Nine Inch Nails. Just like my favorite, just guitar riffs, or, you know, and my favorite songs. I see myself doing it. So I'll manifest it. It will happen. How many years have you been playing instruments? Because, you know, I think it's going to be like quick thing. And of course it's not.
I think I started piano when I was a kid.
Okay.
So we'll just say a long time.
Yeah, a long time. Yeah.
And then I took up guitar in high school. So I'd say maybe like 15 years or so.
Okay. That's really cool.
Some breaks.
Yes. Yeah. But that's cool that you know, I really admire people. Like I said, I sang, so my instrument, or like my 9-year-old says, he wants to play the microphone. And I'm like, oh, okay. I think that's my instrument. But I think that's really cool that, you know, when people are able to play instruments, you're speaking another language, I feel like, you know, when you're able to put together this, you know, just notes and the melody and just the zone that you get into, especially when you're playing in front of an audience. I think I talked to you about the Papa Roach documentary that I watched. Did I discuss that with you?
I'm not familiar with that.
No, I talked about the table read. That's what I talked about with you. That's what I like harp on. There's a Vice special, Vice News, and you can find it on YouTube. And they do like a 30 minute documentary on Papa Roach's first song, Last Resort. And they're from right up the freeway from where I am in Sacramento. And it was really cool to kind of hear their story, you know. And it was like everybody went to school with the guy that hung out in the library quad and said they played in a band, you know. And that's kind of what these guys were. But then they just ended up being like Last Resort. My God, one of my all-time favorite songs as well. So for people that are really into music, and especially if you like Papa Roach, check that out. It's a really good short documentary by Vice News. So yeah, it's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. We will now go ahead and do our Sparking Salutations, everyone. And while I do that, we're going to talk a little bit about the topic here of what Ryan is here to discuss. So Ryan came up with some really good ideas when we were collaborating on what we were going to do. And he first introduced the looking into cannabis and rap. And I wanted to kind of delve deep into how cannabis and rap added to breaking rap up into conscious rap, you know, gangster rap, you know, how it kind of broke it up into certain genres. But That would have taken a lot longer than I believe the time that Ryan has this evening, because we could have gone so many different ways. So what I decided to do was have us talk a little bit about, you have that, babe? Oh, before I do that, actually, so we're going to spark up. And then before I do that, I am going to talk about a little bit of Black excellence for the month. And then we'll jump into the topic here. The other link that I was thinking, the DJ premiere or DJ booth, the other one. All right, guys, just talking to the hubby. So before I do that, everybody, spark and salutations. This is courtesy, this elevation is courtesy of the one and only
Chapo.
There we go. Chapo, and it is a really good name, and it is called Dewberries. Now, those of you that know me personally, you'll know what that the significance that has for me. But it's a very good strain. It is what I'm finding is a little bit of a hybrid, a little bit more on the indica side, because I seriously had the worst kind of munchies last night after medicating with this. So we'll see about where I am this evening. But everybody, spark and salutations to the week. Go ahead and get your edible, get your drink, get your tincture, get your bong, get your dab, you know, light up and let's have a good time. So what we're going to talk about is an individual, since we are talking about music. I do want to talk about who is touted as the first individual to be given credit for the creation of Black music, which, as I was talking to Ryan as we started, Black music is more just popular music. It is all music right now, let's be honest. But this individual's name is George Washington Johnson. I just want to say really quickly, sidebar, why weren't there more names other than George in like the 1800s? It seems like everybody, like in before that, seems like everybody was a George. Why did they not have any other names? But this gentleman, he was born a slave. He was a street performer, and he is recognized as the first Black recording artist. Just in 2014, the Library of Congress added Johnson's song, The Laughing Song, to the National Recording Registry. So I want to give a shout out to him. This was 1890. We, of course, know that we were definitely making music and adding to, you know, the history of music way before 1890. This is the credit that we're given. So shout out to him and kudos to him. So, yes. So we will now go ahead and jump into what our topic is going to be. And Ryan, why don't you go ahead? I know that I sent it to you a little bit earlier. What do you think about, the topic is going to be, the 10 best rap songs from movie soundtracks. How much did you agree with this list?
I agree with most of the songs that are on this list. I thought that the honorable mention of Wild Wild West by Will Smith was kind of a weird choice.
Yeah.
Not my favorite Will Smith song or Will Smith movie song.
No, and it's not Will Smith either. Like, he doesn't want people to even remember he did that, I'm sure. But yeah, I agree with you there.
There's two really obvious songs not on the list that I'd like to talk about.
Yes. And I'd love to hear that because I have the same. So hubby will be probably sharing a little bit of it on the screen if he can. Right? Yes. So we'll get into this. And this is an article that was written in January of the Corona year, January 30th of 2020. And it was written by Dylan Green, and you can find it on DJ Booth's website. So we are going to start with the honorable mention, as you mentioned. So an honorable mention, I don't know why. I don't know if Will Smith paid. I don't know if Will Smith like owns some of this website. I don't know. But as Ryan just mentioned, Will Smith, Kool Moe Dee, and Drew Hill's Wild Wild West. Let's talk about it even being put in the genre of hip hop. Let's start there. What? Because he's rhyming? Like, what? Yeah. Well, yeah. So I know you just said you don't really feel that. Like, how do you feel about Will Smith as a hip hop artist?
It's very, Will Smith is very nostalgic for me. Like, I don't listen to any Will Smith currently, but when I was a kid, I loved Summertime, and parents don't understand.
Right. So this day you put Summertime on and I'm ready for Summertime. Like, I'm ready to go to the barbecue. I'm ready to put on the like crisp white outfits. Like, I'm ready to put on the 90s gear that they have on. Like, it is everything. I know for my husband, he loves Just the Two of Us.
Mm-hmm.
I think for any father, though, that is, you know, that's a really good song. I will give Will Smith, like, if we were ranking the best I Love My Children, I'm a Great Dad songs, then that would be, you know, at the top. That's about it. Parents just don't understand. Yeah. But that's also when, you know, I'm not sure how much older than you I am, but that's when we had the jukebox. Like, that's how you watched videos. You know, you had to call and order your video. Or if you were like my household, you better not call because your parents would take care of you once they saw that phone bill where you paid $3.99 to go ahead and request the MC Hammer video. So I didn't do that, but that's definitely that time. Mm-hmm. But not taken away from Will Smith, like, he has definitely rebranded himself, you know, thanks to TikTok and Instagram, and the fact that he has a full production crew that makes all of his videos. I mean, geez. So we'll give him that. But honorable mention, we're not going to go with that. We're not going to go with that one. So we'll get into the list. Number 10, is Jay-Z, Emil, and I hate to even say his name, Ja Rule.
You know, I was listening to that song recently and I forgot that he's on it.
It's easy to, like, nobody wants to remember that we all made Ja Rule a thing. I think collectively we don't want to say it, but all of our generation that made Chingy a thing, that made, you know, the dance, like, we did some things in the early 2000s and mid-2000s that are questionable. But the fact that we helped make Ja Rule somebody that can do something like the fire, you know,
We were all bamboozled by Ja Rule.
We were, you know. We needed Eminem. Eminem came out when he was duly needed, because if not, rap might be completely configured by Ja Rule. And that'd be sad.
But I don't want to live in that universe.
I don't either. No, not either. And, you know, so what do you think about this one from Rush Hour? If you guys don't know, it's actually on Netflix right now, I believe. So you guys can go check it out. But what do you think about the Ugreen out of all time, you know, up until January of last year? Do you think that that's a pretty good spot in there?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite Jay-Z songs. It's a great soundtrack song. Like, the 90s had so many good rap soundtrack songs.
So many. Like, and you have your choice. Like, I probably wouldn't want it to be on this, on this committee. Because it is pretty tough, especially if you're going, you know, all time, which I think all time is probably like 95 to current. That's what we were doing. But we'll see here. So shout out to Jay-Z, Emil, wherever she is. We actually, I think, just watched a little YouTube thing on her the other day. She's working at like a Safeway or something.
Oh, no.
And people tried to shame her for it. Yeah. But, you know, shout out to her. And I refuse to give a shout out to Ja Rule because I am an Eminem fan. And
agreed.
We don't do that. So number 9, I feel some way about this one because I am an Eminem fan. Lose Yourself from 8 Mile, number 9. I think that's a little low. That's a little low.
I agree.
Yeah. I could literally right now do a one-man reenactment of 8 Mile. The battles, everything. I don't know how entertaining it would be, but I can do it. But that's how great that movie is. That's how many songs out of it. It is just like, it's so fantastic. I still to this day can put on the soundtrack and from beginning to end just be completely enthralled, just like I'm listening to a regular Eminem track. would you consider yourself a fan of Eminem's, of 8 Mile?
Yeah, I liked Eminem till about around this time. I think shortly after 8 Mile came out, I started losing interest. But this is not just one of his better songs. I think it's one of those songs where, like, once those guitar chords hit at the beginning, like, everybody knows what song is playing.
Yes, yes. That's why it won an Oscar. You know, which, if I don't know if people know, it wasn't like he had a scheduling conflict. He made the decision consciously not to attend. And it was kind of a precursor Oscar so white kind of protest. You know, he was like, well, you know, is 3-6 Mafia, are they going to be able to be there? You know, he was just, you know, talking about other people that had contributed. Are they going to be able to be there? Are they going to be in the front row? Are they going to be able to perform the song? You know, so it's interesting that, you know, people think that it was more of like a scheduling conflict, or like he was high or something like that. It was conscious. Eminem was riding way back then. Way back then. Have you listened to any of his new music?
I've listened to the singles here and there. Not as good as peak Eminem, but who's going to be that good for that long?
It's still fire. I mean, the man is rapping faster than what he was rapping back in the day. That's fire. Like, I'm going to send you some stuff, okay? And just listen. And then you let me know. I'm going to send you some specially, you know, chosen ones. But I've told you before, I met Eminem not once, but twice. And, you know, we have a connection, so I could be a little biased. But if I had to rate it, that soundtrack would be number one. But once again, I may be a little biased. I don't know. It was great.
I think that's my top five.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Definitely not number nine, but we'll move on here. I can't believe he's 47. Like, where's time gone? Oh, I started listening to him when I was 20. Like, I bought Infinite when I was 20. How old were you? 20? No, I was 23. So 20, like 21. Wow. I don't know. I don't know. I'm still 21. I don't know how you guys all got older, but I don't know. So number eight, as we can see here, Outkast, Sleepy Brown, and Scars, Morris Brown from Idlewild. I'll be honest. I listened to it and I was like, I don't know if I remember the song.
Same.
Yeah, right? Dude.
And I love Outkast. I love Outkast.
Absolutely love them. Like, right now in my playlist, I still play several Outkast. Like, several, as if they just came out yesterday. You know, from Southern Playalistic. I mean, that was probably, if I have to be honest, other than Two Shorts, Don't Fight the Feeling. That was probably the first rap song that I was like, I knew it from beginning to end and front to back. You know, I grew up in a Friday Night Lights kind of town, is what I tell people. So, you know, I knew George Strait. I knew, you know, New Kids on the Block. I just had an eclectic taste in music. So when I really started getting into rap really deep, like, it was Outkast to me was like, whoa. You know, it was just a breath of fresh air. Then it was Tupac. So, yes. George Strait is country singer. You just get it. I'm sorry. I don't know if you guys heard the hubby, but he just had a revelation of Drake lyrics. So when Drake says, I don't remember the song. You remember? Well, look, it definitely does deserve to be number eight. And it definitely just doesn't deserve to be above Lose Yourself.
Yeah. When my wife and I are listening to Outkast, no one ever says, oh, put that song from Idlewild on.
Right, right.
Well, the song from Idlewild was good. It just wasn't that.
Yeah. Well, nobody says put on Morris Brown. Right. Yeah. Yeah, you have to look up Idlewild. Because that movie was a little bit rough. It wasn't bad. My husband said, yes, it was. But let me tell you what I was laughing about really quickly, because my husband just says, Drake says, all my girls, what did you say? All my girls listen to George Strait like they think Texas. Yeah. Yeah. So on the song where Drake mentions George Strait, he's like, all my girls go to Texas and listen to George Strait. So my husband just realized with mommy saying George Strait, he's on George Strait sings country. Drake messes with girls that listen to country. Mind blown. Drake messes with white girls. Of course he does. Drake messes with all girls. Of course he does. It's just the strippers that are one or that of color, you know. No, she was not a stripper. She was a wannabe lingerie model, but that was borderline French porn star. She's also not cute, which is why he tried to hide her. But
you're talking about the baby mama?
Yes. Yes. Oh. He was so upset when Pusha T put that information
out. That was so good though.
It was good. It was good. But I think Drake got him. I once again, people could say I'm biased because I love Drake in this house. Drake is fire. Drake is like Russ. Drake says shit in such a smooth way that people can't help to get in their feelings. And if you're in your feelings, it's because he's talking about you. So it's like people can't stand Drake because he's such a good lyricist, and it's the same way as Russ. Like, just the same bravado, you know, but they have skills. So, but once again, you see, get me off. It's a whole nother episode. So we don't agree with this one. And I want to know from you guys, you know, I want to know in the comments. I want to know when you guys are listening to this later on all the platforms. Go ahead and like leave me a message. Let me know if you guys agree with this. I want to know how many people even know this damn song. Okay. Don't know it. So don't agree with that one, guys. But number seven, lucky number seven. There we go. Hubby's getting there. Oh, really? Okay. So like I said, I try not to like read over this way too much because I wanted my reactions to be real. And you guys see, X gonna give it to you. That's like one of DMX's worst songs. Oh my God.
But it was everywhere.
It was everywhere, which is why it's one of his worst songs. Just like Party Up. True.
I like Party Up.
I like Party Up too. No. I'm just saying, like, it got played out so much. Like, it was just everywhere. Good thing that we don't, like, listen to the radio as much as we used to, because I wouldn't listen to any music. Because that's what bothers me, is when you hear it all the time. And it's like, let me get some time to like it, you know? That's what's good about streaming. You can control how much you hear it. But, yeah, so what do you think? What do you think about this one, this number seven?
I think that it deserves to be on the list. I wouldn't put it above Lose Yourself. I don't even think I'd put it over Can I Get A by Jay-Z. But, you know, it was everywhere. It's one of those songs where everybody knows it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, at the right party, it'll get people going.
Yes, right at the right party. I like that. I'll give it to you. I will agree that if we were, like, kind of creating our own alternate list, this would be number 10. I put this at 10. I put Jay-Z at 9. More Sleepy Brown, Charlie Brown, whatever the song was, wouldn't even be on the list. So no. 8, we maybe have to feel, we'll have to come back and like fill up 8. But what do you guys think about 7? I mean, I don't even think I saw this movie. If I did, I may have maybe fell asleep. Were we together then, babe?
We weren't together when it came out. I've watched it since we've been together. It's a trash
movie. Yeah, so once again. All right. So if we want to talk about DMX bangers, we want to talk about best. I mean, this is not a soundtrack song, but best DMX song would be.
I believe in this song on Aaliyah's last movie with the.
Yeah, Romeo Must Die.
Romeo Must Die is single. I was very
good. Yeah, I would say What These Bees Want. You guys, I never put myself out, but. YouTube's acting a little funny nowadays, so that's my favorite DMX. Like, that song's hard. Do you have a favorite DMX song? Like, just like one that you just all the time turn it up, it's your shit.
Not big enough of a DMX fan to have a favorite song.
Oh, once again, I'm gonna send you like a whole playlist. You're gonna be like, she really sent me a playlist. I'm gonna send you a playlist, though. But all right, so number 7, you know, we would, if we were rewriting this, this would be a number 10 for us. So we'll move on. What'd you say? Belly. Well, yeah. Soundtrack from Belly. Murders. Yeah. Belly soundtrack was way better than that one. Belly would be number 8 on my list. Have you ever seen Belly?
I haven't seen it, but I do know the soundtrack.
Oh, you should watch it. It's a really good movie. But yeah, excuse me. Pardon me. Does that say Space Jam?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. I just really picked a good list here. So Be Real, Coolio, Method Man, LL Cool J, and Busta Rhymes. Hit 'em High. The Monsters at Anthem from Space Jam. Guys, I don't have anything to say because this is a complete garbage choice to me. Like,
yes.
What? Like, what are we doing here? I thought this was a serious scene. Who wrote this?
Is not even Coolio's best soundtrack song in the 90s.
Oh.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Oh, you and my husband, are you guys going to say Dangerous Minds?
Absolutely.
Oh.
It's a great song.
It should be on the list.
You know what? I expected it to be. I definitely did. Not one of my, to this day, turn that shit off. Like, that ruined a year that I will not name in high school for me. That, oh my God. And like, my son loves it, my 12-year-old. My 12 and 9 year old, so we'll be in the car and it's the three of them just like they're Coolio, just rapping and singing along, and I'm dying. Like, my skin's literally crawling. But I would have that there before, what was it, Morris Brown? It can replace Morris Brown. It can replace Space Jam. I literally can't stand that song. Like, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. I would still put that in place of the Space Jam song. So we'll move on. This one, fire. This one is fire strictly because of Future's Part. So I love it. My husband, every time it comes on and I sing it, he's just shaking his head like he did not get on track and say, la di da di da, slava my nav. Yes. I love it. I love it. And I think Future is trash by himself. He is only good on the song with The Weeknd and anything that he's done with Drake. Other than that, I don't want to hear you. But are you familiar with this song, King's Dead?
Yeah, I love the soundtrack.
Awesome, right? Like, this itself could be like 1 through 5. Like, the soundtrack itself. This song is super powerful. There's another song on the soundtrack with the people from Oakland, the dudes from Oakland. That song is fire.
Oh yeah, that's probably my favorite song on the soundtrack.
Yeah, I can't remember their name right now, but
it's like,
no, not Hieroglyphics. You took it back with that one.
it's like an acronym. It's like,
I was gonna say it's like letters. It's like an acronym. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you don't. There's nobody that you actually know.
Yeah, but that song's good. Yeah, this song is great. I like when the beat changes.
Yes. My husband's going. And only because of Future's Part. Because, well, one, he doesn't like, he's like J-Rock, like, who? Kendrick Lamar is. Yeah, my husband's like, who was that? Like, what's going on? Wait, there's going to be a Black Panther 2 next year? Like, that's for real. Wow, I'm excited. I didn't know that.
But no Chadwick.
I know. But he would have been in, like, he would have been in it.
Yes.
I think they said they recorded some, if I do remember, actually, it's coming back to me, they recorded some of his scenes or something.
I know that at some point, the sister was always supposed to take over, so maybe they skipped one.
I mean, I guess they did kind of set up for it at the end of the last one. I didn't know it was coming out next year, though. Speaking of Oakland. All right, I'm looking up the soundtracks right now. SOB. Yeah.
SOBRBE, right?
Yep. SOBRBE. Yeah. You heard it. And you were like, oh, wait, they're definitely from the Bay. I'll play it when this is done because we don't want to pay anybody. So, yes. So this song is fire. I agree with it being number five. Like I said, Future's part, fire. Kendrick Lamar, I mean, he's won a Nobel, you know, Peace Prize. Like, what more can you say? What more can you say? So, yes, we agree with that one. Plus, move on here. We are almost to the end of the list. Okay. So, yeah, number four, I don't know. They're numbers. They're numbers. Fire song, though. Nelly, Diddy, and Murphy Lee's Shake Your Tail Feather from Bad Boys 2. I mean, it was the title song. It was all over the place. They made up a dance to it. You know, you had the hottest people on it. You had, it was funny. You had Will Smith. You had Martin Lawrence, big stars at that time. You had the formula to make a hit here. You really did. So what do you think about this one, Ryan?
Not the biggest Nelly fan, but this song was huge. The song was everywhere. I remember telling one of my friends to shake her tail feather, and she had no idea what I was talking about, but she got a good kick out of it. I remember that in college.
You should bring that back. I like that. You should go tell your wife. You should just go
slap her. Well, my wife knows this song.
I would love to see if she replied, if she just started doing the dance. Like if she just broke it down. That'd be awesome.
I know we had a festival a couple of years ago.
Really? Yeah. Nelly, well, one of his songs was my husband and I, our first song when we were in college. It's so cute because my son put it on for me today when I was in the shower. He's like, I'm going to put on a song for you, and like brought his speaker in. And I was like, look at you, how cute. He's like, I knew this was your first song with dad. And I was like, oh, you're so cute. So sweet to my 12-year-old. But yeah, so Nelly actually plays, it's one of those soundtracks, you know, that kind of defines a part of my life that I love to, you know, to think back on, and that I had a really good time during that time. And that was my husband and I's like first year together. So
it definitely deserves to be higher on the list than a lot of these other songs. So it's at least a good spot for it.
Yeah. You think number four, though?
Compared to the other songs that they've already put on this list? Absolutely. The songs they put on this list have not been good soundtracks.
Other than Eminem.
But it shouldn't have been number nine.
No, that shouldn't have been.
Eminem should be above this song.
Agreed. All right. So I think we all kind of agree there. All right. So number three. That song's in my head now. Do it for fun. Just keep hearing it. Was that Nunu? No. That was somebody else. The thing that was really raw about it, what they're saying right there, the horns. Like it really was. You really think about what makes the song so good. And I don't think most people break down music like that, but you think about the horns, that is a really big part of, you know, kind of the bass line. Oh, I know you're excited about this one.
I mean, it's a classic, dude.
Oh, hubby is excited about this one. I had never listened to the song until we got together. So, number three, Deep Cover.
One of Snoop's best songs.
Yes, by before he became Auntie. Because Snoop is such an auntie right now. Dr. Dre and Snoop. So if you guys don't know, come on. Get up on your hip-hop history. Because this is, you know, I would say this is an important song in history. Although, like I said, I hadn't listened to it until I was 23 years old.
But the movie's trash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, don't waste your time.
No, you're on.
No, no waste your time.
First or second acting roles, the movie was. But the song, even though the soundtrack is actually decent.
Yeah. What I do remember, you know, what I liked about it when he played it for me is that Snoop did such a good job at telling a story. Like he really painted the story, and unfortunately I had seen the movie, but he really paints the scene. He uses his words just exactly how words are supposed to be used. It's like paint in a paintbrush. He just really painted this picture for you. He did a great job of it. And then, of course, the production was fire. Dr. Dre, thank God that he's doing better and that he's back out. You know, he's out of the hospital. He's back in the lab. I think we're going to get some fire music, you know, from this whole situation. So shout out to him. But yes, if you guys have never heard of that, this link to this article you can find. You can also just ask Auntie Google, and it'll come right up. But number two, Public Enemies, Fight the Power from Do the Right Thing. I'm going to agree with that.
Yes.
Mainly. Yeah. Yeah. Everything that I remember of this is Rosie Perez dancing.
I mean, in terms of the list, it should be this number two, fine. Eminem probably three, then the Snoop one, and then Shake Your Tail Feather. Like, Eminem should be right after this song.
Yeah. Eminem shouldn't be
depending nine. On who they put in number one.
I mean, Eminem's last freaking freestyle in the battle deserves to be freaking higher than number nine. When he's like, Clarence got a real nice parents, got a real good marriage, like that deserves to be higher than number nine. But
that wasn't our soundtrack. That wasn't on the official soundtrack.
But no, I'm just saying, just that was music from the movie. But yeah. So have you seen this movie? I know you already said that you agree you were a fan of Public Enemy.
Yep.
All the good
love
stuff.
The movie. Perfect combo, Public Enemy and Spike Lee.
Right? And her dancing tells the story as well. Once again, where art and using your creativity just really tells the story. But you know, by this time he had come out with School Days, which was just an ode to, we talked about it, you know, in that episode, the episode with you, that it was just an ode to, you know, old theater and to like Broadway. And so he kind of kept that going. He's a great director and a great storyteller. I wish people, there is a market and there is a group of people that break down movies and break down songs and, you know, appreciate it. But I wish it was just on a larger, you know, a larger scale, which is why arts in school is super important, because mm-hmm. that's where you get adults that are then interested in it, you know, and that keep it going. So I really love what the author has to, you know, what they say about it. They're saying it's impossible to hear Fight the Power and not begin sweating from the inside out. Chuck D's overpowering voice and thoughts on racism, Flavor Flav's ad-libs, the Bomb Squad's wall of sound production crashing against every solid surface, every bit of the song inflames the senses. That is like a wonderfully written synopsis right there, because that's exactly what it is. So kudos, agree with this one, love it. Love it, love it, love it. If you guys, once again, haven't seen it, I think Do the Right Thing is on Netflix right now. If not, once again, ask Auntie Google. You can find it on any streaming service, I'm sure, other than that. So you guys got to check it out. It's a great movie. And number one, Regulators, Mount Up. I'm not going to say number one, but it's fire. Who doesn't know Regulators from beginning to end and into back to the beginning? Nothing wrong with this. I mean, it was perfect. You got a young Warren G. Nate Dogg, who, yes, I was just going to say, rest in peace, Nate Dogg, who really started the, if people want to say they're R&B hip hop stars, you have to kind of give that ode to Nate Dogg, because Nate Dogg did it. Nate Dogg was the king of hooks before like T-Pain, you know, he was fire. I mean, fire all the way around. The song is fire. Great memories from this. Still listening to it right now. Don't turn it. It's in our active playlist. So I agree with this one.
It's the number one song that they had on this list.
Over Eminem.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm okay with this being number one.
The Lose Yourself song, at some point when it originally came out, got to a point to where we didn't want to listen to it on the radio.
Well, yeah, because we look.
Regulators has never gotten to a point where you do not want to listen to it.
That's true. I'll give it to you there. Lose Yourself is just so all the time motivating to me, though.
I agree.
I feel you.
It should be higher than what it was, but this song is.
So if we had to say between the two, we'd say one and two, would we say?
Still
Lose Yourself, number
three.
Two.
Three. Keep three. Public Enemy at two.
Two. Okay. All right.
Three.
So
the power is definitely that could come after those two. When you hear them, like regulators you always sing with, and Fight the Power, you always nod your head to, no matter what you're doing when they come on, you don't nod your head.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
okay. That's true. That's true. Well, I will agree. I will say that overall, you know, a little lackluster, but I think that we, between the three of us right now, we just came up at least with the top three. So I'm you know, good with that. I know, Ryan, you said there was a couple that were not, you know, mentioned that you thought they should be on the list. What were those for you?
I would say let's swap out the Outkast song for Ghetto Superstar.
No, Maya. Yes. Okay. I like that. I'll take it. Yeah. Only because Maya sang that to me on my birthday a few years ago. It was pretty cool. Yeah. We were at a club.
That old dirty bastard verse at the end is pretty fire.
On her birthday.
She sang it to me. Okay. He's all too clear. She sang it to me. Okay. It was my birthday. She shouted me out. Then she went into the song, which means she was singing it to me. Yeah, I won't take away my shine. Go ahead, Bryce. So Ghetto Superstar.
We talked about the Coolio song.
Dangerous
Gangster's
Mind.
Paradise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Gangster's Paradise. Yeah, yeah, yep. Yeah. I always call it Dangerous Paradise.
I mean, that should be there instead of Space Jam.
For sure. 1,000%. Oh my God, I can't believe that's there. That kid, whoever wrote this, must have like used to want to be on Space Jam or something, so they threw that in there.
The intro to Belly should be on. Like, that song.
That song. What's going on?
It's better than it should be on this.
List. Yeah. That's yeah. That's true.
I can take that place with the DMX song, and I'm a DMX.
Yeah. I'd probably put that on the list over Nelly. Shake Your Tail Feather. But yeah. So sorry, Ryan. And what else was it?
What is it? Keep the Heads Ringing by Dr. Dre from Friday. That was a good one.
That is a damn good one. I was trying to think of a Friday or like a Menace to Society track. That would be, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Isn't Eazy-E song from the soundtrack?
Which one? From Friday?
No. When they talk about the Jack... GTA, Grand Theft Auto. We talk about selling cars.
Money in the Hood.
It's from the
Hood. Boys in the Hood is always hard. No, wouldn't that be from Boys in the Hood? If they playing in Boys in the Hood?
Oh, okay.
Boys in the Hood is always hard. Yeah. Once again, I listen to that song because you play it.
Oh, that's a classic.
Yeah. Did you hear what he was saying? Boys in the Hood by Eazy-E?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what do you think about Eazy-E adding to the list?
Well, that song's classic.
Yeah. I'd say I probably would add something, and this is just, you know, how I grew up. I would probably add something from Clueless onto the list. But that's not hip hop. So,
well, there's one Coolio song and that's it.
True. Yeah. So we're going to scratch that completely. We can't edit it out. This is live. Just everybody forgot that. Let's rewind. I didn't say that. But no, I think that those are some really good additions. Any others, or those are just a couple that you have?
Those were the ones that I felt like needed to be on the list.
Yeah. I definitely agree with the Friday. I mean, how can you not have a Friday song on there and when it's hip hop? Like, come on. Friday is like the hip hop movie. Come on. Yeah, I agree with that one. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe we should go ahead and write our own article and put it out, you know? but that was really fun. I haven't done that, talked about music in that aspect in a while. So I really like that. I did promise you guys know, everybody that listens, normally, you know, this time of the show, we're just now jumping into stuff, but you know, I promised Ryan that I was going to make sure that he is back to his regular life expeditiously. So I'm very proud of myself. We are just under an hour. So we're going to end this on talking about our slaps of the week. My slap of the week, we're actually going to do a current one, and we're going to do an oldie but a goodie. So let's actually go with our guest first. What, if anything, are your picks for your current song of the week? or like the month, or just like one that you just cannot stop listening to, new and old?
So for new, we'll go with The Avalanches featuring Leon Bridges, a song called Interstellar Love. That's a really good album if you like all kinds of music.
Yep.
And then for my oldie, I just watched last week. I just watched One Night in Miami, the Amazon Prime movie.
Okay.
And so Leslie Odom Jr. plays Sam Cooke in that film. So my oldie's Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I don't know if it's because now I'm seeing you as well as hearing you. But you have a very radio. You're like perfect for podcasts because you have like the perfect demeanor and voice and everything for it. So it just, you're very soothing. Like I can hear you introducing, you know, and everybody. And now at 7 after 7, we're going to listen to what was actually my oldie pick. And that's because my son's been playing it nonstop. Air Supply. What is love? I can hear you introducing that. But that is my oldie pick, as well as Call Me by Too Short and Lil' Kim. So on different spectrums there, but both of those is kind of, that's where I'm at right now. My current one, which if you're a fan, it's not too current, it's about 6 months old, but I'm really, really, really into Pop Smoke right now. Just another unfortunate life that we've lost, and we lost too soon. I mean, if just add it to the numbers of musicians that die, and it's unfortunate because they die younger and younger and younger. Like the age used to be like 28. You know, I think Janis Joplin passed at that age. Jimi Hendrix, like they were all around. Yeah, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse, like they all were between, I want to say 27 and maybe 30. But now we're losing, you know, kids at 21, 22. 23. I mean, Pop Smoke, if you guys don't know who he is, just go like YouTube him. First of all, the fact that he sounds so much like 50, and he is like a 2020 to 21 50. Like that's exactly what he would have been like. Like the fact that 50 Cent is on one of his biggest songs. You know, yeah, well, it's the woo, but they say the woe. I'm just saying it so that people can find it. It's the woo. It's the woo. Sorry. I know. Like, whoa. I knew he was going to say that. He was going to say that. I knew it. As soon as I said it, I was thinking, like, he's going to say it. That's what happens when you guys have been married forever. So, yes. Anywho, like I was saying, the resemblance, he had a lot of talent, and posthumously, he is in a movie, which is kind of sad. You know, because it's like we're seeing that talent that we lost and that we're never going to see come to fruition. So, you know, that's a little sad, but he's fire. His music's fire. It's definitely that kind of turn up music that I'm back in college. You know, I don't have any kids or bills, that mindset. You want to put that on and get in that mindset, go ahead and listen to Pop Smoke. Finally, what we're going to end on is what I'm excited about. You know, we've just come out of a few months, well, actually 4 years of not having a lot to be excited about, even though we pulled through and we would, you know, share our good times and things like that. But especially in the last few months and in the last month, you know, with everything happening at the Capitol, you know, it's been a little stressful. The air's been a little tense. The energy's been off. So I want to start something where we talk about what we're excited about. So what I'm excited about, and it's something so simple, guys, it's two things. One is the new Coming to America movie, Coming to America 2. Super excited about it. It comes out March 5th. It's on Amazon. So if you don't have your Amazon Prime paid up, go ahead and do that so you can watch the movie or get somebody's login, whatever you have to do. Let's support it. Ryan, have you seen the trailers for that movie?
No, I heard that they just came out with trailers this week, so I'm pretty excited about it. I love the first film.
Yeah, they came out with two new ones this week that are more in depth. So the first one just kind of like showed them in the shop, you know, like the first one, they went back, the same old men are there. These men be like 1,014 years old, but they're still there. You know, the guys from the barbershop. So they kind of show that. They don't show too much of like Zumunda or anything like that, but you get the gist of it. These two that have come out this week, much more in depth. You actually see, you know, what the storyline's about, which is he finds out that he has a son in America. And Leslie Jones from SNL is the mom. And it's so funny because I'm like, there was no Leslie Jones. They didn't have sex before he met the queen. But yeah, so it looks really funny. Wesley Snipes, Leslie Jones, Tracy Morgan, pretty much all of the original cast. The parents are there, except for the mother. She passed away some time ago. But yeah, everybody's there, and they spend time in Zamunda this time. So instead of it being here in America, coming to America, but they're, you know, going to Africa. So it looks really good. I'm super excited about it.
First you went to America, this time you come to Africa.
I know, yeah. Right? But everybody looks good. I'll say this, Wesley Snipes is like a villain in the movie in a way. It is PG-13, which means it's family friendly. So yeah, great movie. If you want to watch it and you haven't watched the first one, you're not allowed to watch this one if you haven't watched the first one. So please catch up. Second thing I'm most excited about, I have recently become a fan of practicing my Second Amendment rights, my two-way rights. And I have recently purchased a few firearms, and I'm super excited to, you know, to get out there and start practicing and become the best shooter that I can be and protect myself and my family the best that I can. I will say that I never thought that I would be so attracted to so many Call of Duty and Halo-esque type guns. I am. I am. They're cool. So that's what I'm excited about. Anything that you're excited about that you would like to share, Ryan, before we log on off tonight?
Well, since we talked about them on my podcast, I thought I would tell you that I'm excited about the new Foo Fighters album, which is coming out tomorrow.
Yay! Yes, I'm excited about that as well. Love Foo Fighters. Did I ask you what your favorite song was when we talked about them?
No, that's a big question, but you know, can't go wrong with Everlong, right?
Oh my God, I was gonna say that. So I was gonna say that song is so good. That one, and then Best of You is second. Yeah. I was this close to getting VIP tickets at a Kings game. We were there to see the Warriors, not the Kings. So don't get excited, guys. We're Warriors fans. You know that.
All day, every day.
A la Cat Williams. So I was this close to getting VIP tickets, and I would have been able to meet them. They were doing like a dance, you know, get up and dance like little thing, and they were putting the camera on our area. And what did I do? Or you went somewhere? They called his seat number or something like that. So basically, they went to the seat behind me, and I was so mad when they heard. They were like, "You just won through." I was livid because that Foo Fighters, Kings of Leon, dream concert to me. Like, I would love to be able to see them in concert. Oh my gosh. But I'm excited about that too. I'm going to go ahead and maybe stay up past 12 o'clock and download that. YouTube Music comes out quickly. So, well, awesome. I appreciate it. Guys, please go and support, listen, and subscribe to Ryan's podcast. Ryan, I really appreciate your time. I had a good time. This is a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Guys, collaboration is huge. We both have podcasts. We met through a podcast platform. We don't know each other from a can of paint, but you see how, you know, social media and doing things like following your passion and following your purpose. And, you know, I think that we both have a talent within this realm. Following that and following your instincts, you know, how that can turn out for you. So I want everybody to take that away. Also, we talked about music and Mary Jane. So go ahead and spark up. And, you know what we saw today before we end? A record store. And it was called a record store. And it's a full record store, buy, sell, or trade. So I'm really excited about, I'll add that to my list as well. Now I'll have to just get a record player, because if you guys have never actually listened to records, do yourself a favor and do that. So that will be what I'm going to end tonight on. You guys know, go ahead, please subscribe, like, and hit the bell for notifications, so that you can know when Mary Jane Maven decides to run her mouth again. Also follow me on IG and Twitter. And You guys are going to be looking out for merch because the Mary Jane Marketplace is opening soon. So once again, I want to thank you so much, Brian. I look forward to possibly working together again, discussing another great soundtrack. And I really appreciate your time. And you guys, like I said, go ahead and support and follow him as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. All right, guys, see you tomorrow. We have, remember, another episode tomorrow. All right, see you then.
MonthLeaf is the monthly cannabis subscription service for Northern California. They offer a variety of boxes that you can customize to fit your preferences. Each box will always have a value exceeding $150, but all you have to pay is just $100. And that's each month.